broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
There's a lot of information out there that suggests that the swine flu in most people is a mild illness.
Guantanamo is the best place to hold these hardened
criminals. Obama's first act as president of any consequence in the middle of a financial meltdown.
Not charged. I know it wasn't rape.
Yeah, there was a statutory rape.
I saw a man expose himself.
And just pretty gay.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, where Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals come to die. Because when they show up on this show, they get their ass handed to them, and then they go away sadder, maybe not wiser, but sadder. And what we're going to do on this particular segment of the program is illustrate this beautifully. When we say truth is our bitch, what do we mean? We mean that, well, there's what happened, and then there's what people want you to believe happened. What do you mean by truth, Phil? There's what happened, and then there's what people want you to believe happened. And there's a big difference. The thing where the people want you to believe what happened, that ain't what happened. Where it did happen, that's what happened. That's the truth. See? So if a guy says, for instance, Bush lied, do you know if that's the truth or not? Or do you know if that is someone that wants you to believe that that's the truth? I will tell you which is the truth. The truth is, he didn't lie. The truth is, he's the commander-in-chief. He made some decisions based on lousy intelligence, and the easier thing to understand is that he lied, as opposed to understanding that as a commander-in-chief, when you're the guy that makes the decisions and somebody hands you intelligence that isn't the best intelligence there is in the world, you make bad decisions. The truth is actually a little scarier. He might have made a bad decision based upon the information that he had. Personally, I'm glad he went ahead and did it anyway. That is invading Iraq. I don't see any downside to that at all. No downside to that at all. Obama. What's the truth? Is he a socialist? Is he a Marxist-Leninist? Or is that what some stupid people, and you either they're stupid because they actually believe that he is, or it's something that they concocted because they know that the average person doesn't know what that is, and so it'll play, right? Well, no, he isn't a Marxist-Leninist. He's not a socialist. He's a very pragmatic guy. He recognizes that he is a president in the midst of economic financial circumstances that have not been dealt with by other presidents, if ever, for a long, long time. And he's made some decisions, and no matter what decision he makes, when the country is in a quasi-crisis like it was back in the fall of 08 and in the winter of 2009, somebody's going to get upset. You know, this wouldn't be America, folks, if there weren't people screaming bloody murder about decisions that are made in times of crisis. This just would not be America. The first thing Americans do when there is a tough situation facing them that threatens their stability and their security, the first thing they do is get crazy. They get a little hysterical. They start looking around for somebody, anybody, that they can grab a hold of and beat to a bloody pulp. Well, you mean like World War II, Phil, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor? Everybody went. They enlisted. Yeah, everybody went. Everybody enlisted. I understand that. But we were still in a state of crazed panic. Every guy with slanted eyes we thought was the enemy. Every Japanese-American walking down a street someplace was somebody had to kick the crap out of. Maybe it's just human. I don't know. Crisis does not bring necessarily the best out in us right off the bat. I will say this, though. The longer that we are immersed in a problem, the longer we are immersed in a crisis situation, the smarter we get. And we generally come out the other side smelling like a rose. Smarter people prevail. Smarter minds prevail. And we come up with solutions that, at least for the short term, bring everything on to a steadier footing. And then, of course, we have to take a look at the long-term ramifications. Those are all really heavy things that have to be done, whether or not people want to do them. Those are all things that have got to get done, whether or not people understand. And the worst bastard out there, the lowest form of life out there right now, the lowest, crawlingest form of life is any ideologue, either liberal or conservative, that plays upon the ignorance and the fear of people and puts a label on something because it's convenient and because it will serve their personal purpose, whether it's grabbing a little more power or just screwing things up because that's what they happen to get their kicks doing, or promoting their ideology, or making them a smarter, wiser, better talk show host, or making them more money on their TV show, or selling another book. That's the lowest form of life there is. Right now, with this country facing the problems that it's facing, we need people who are smart, who are sober, who look at things straight on and say, okay, here's what's happening right now, okay? And the individual that doesn't serve this country at all, and in point of fact, if it were me, I'd beat them over the head with a crowbar, man, until they were laying unconscious, are these bastards that are either writing books or giving speeches or doing TV shows, talking out of their asses about something because they know it's what the masses want to hear. They may not be right. They may not even be close to right. It doesn't matter to them. They got the love of the people, man. The checks are cashing. It's all good. What kind of a country are you creating around yourself when you do that sort of thing? All right. Anyway, Woody Allen. We're going to talk about him this hour. Martin Scorsese and Woody Allen have both said that they think Roman Polanski should be freed from this terrible arrest that he has suffered in Europe at the hands of the dirty double-dealing Swiss.
Yeah.
Those rotten Swiss who arrested this guy on a fugitive warrant at the request of Los Angeles County authorities. He went to Zurich to be a part of a film festival, and what do you suppose happened? The guy got arrested. Now, here's an example of what I'm talking about. Do you want to know what happened, or do you want to hear what somebody told you happened? The guy had sex with a 13-year-old girl, gave her Quaaludes and champagne. I believe the conviction was for unlawful or illegal sex with a minor. It wasn't child molestation per se, but I don't care. Let's call it that. That's what people get thrown in jail for, isn't it? I mean, a guy has sex with a 13-year-old girl. What the hell do you think happens to the guy? He's put in jail. I'll give an example of what I'm talking about. This is very embarrassing to admit, but my kids were going to a school, a middle school, a number of years ago. My children were going to a middle school. The headmaster of this middle school was arrested for having sex with one of the students. That man's in jail today. There wasn't any ifs, ands, or buts about it. Woody Allen didn't write a petition. Martin Scorsese didn't weigh in. Whoopi Goldberg didn't open her big fat mouth. Nobody was saying, hey, this guy went straight to a jail cell. And you want to know how many people were bothered by it? How about none? How about zero? And you know what he said? I loved her. I wanted to marry her. I felt bad for the guy. He seemed like a man-child. He seemed like he had not developed much in that sense, in an emotional sense, in terms of his relationships with people, especially women. So I felt bad for the guy. But I also knew this was a man in his 30s who was the headmaster of a school, who was an educated man, who was sane enough, at least sane enough, to be hired for a job overseeing the education, the curriculum of middle school-aged kids. But he's in jail because he had sex with a 13-year-old. There's what happened, and then there's what they want you to believe happened. What happened to Woody Allen?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
No, it ain't. See, that's just it. That's the perception about Woody Allen. We don't know. What happened with Roman Polanski is, I felt bad for Roman Polanski, too. He's a great artist. He's a European. It seems to me that there's an ideal that some of these guys have, especially these auteurs, these artists whose heads are up in the clouds, that the, you know, the virgin bride thing. You've heard all of the poetics. For instance, in the late 1970s, you ever heard of an actress named Brooke Shield?
Yeah, everybody has.
Yeah, of course. All right. You know where she shot to stardom? In a movie called Pretty Baby.
I never heard of that.
Pretty Baby was a movie, and I think it had one of the Carradines. And it's about a 14-year-old girl who, and Brooke Shields at the time was, I think, 14, who catches the fancy and the love of a much older man. And it's in a sense, parts of the film, it's idealized. It's made to look like, well, you know, well, you're talking about child rape, aren't you? Well, I don't want to go that far. Oh, I see. So what you're saying now, you need to understand, sir, that while, of course, we abhor sex with a child, there is that area of human experience and condition which transcends the whole... Just hold still for a minute. Yes? Right on the face.
Oh.
Right. I like Woody Allen's movies, man. I think the guy is great. But There's no screwing around with it, man. It's either the cat committed a crime or he didn't, and then the guy splits. Now, the judge was a piece of crap. That's fine, I understand. And the judge was probably going to throw the book at him. You know, that's why you got a lawyer, man. The lawyer's looking out for your best interest. And he had a good lawyer. This Darren Daltrey guy, I think is his name. Very smart guy, very well-spoken man. To this day, if you see him interviewed, you're very impressed with him. As was the prosecutor for L.A. County, this guy Gunson. Both of these men were eminent, both of them well aware of this judge's peculiarities, and both of them looking in the case of the D.A., I really think he wanted to see justice served. In the case of Daltrey, he wanted to get his client treated fairly. Now, there was a psychiatric evaluation ordered. He went in, he had a psychiatric evaluation, he came out. I believe the psychiatric evaluation was okay. Everything's good. Everything's fine. It scared the crap out of Polanski. They stuck his ass out of Chino. He got out. And then he took off because he didn't trust this judge and he thought he was going to go to jail for a long time. I understand how going to jail is scary. I understand how all of these things are frightening beyond words. If you live in a country, you live in a country in a society, and maybe that's America. Maybe that's the ideal that people have about America. That over here... all bets are off, baby. You know, it's just one big happy party, man. It's just house party time, you know. But we got laws here. Now, listen to this. These people have got a petition. They've got all kinds of celebrities. Half of these jackasses I never heard of. They're all French, so...
Yeah, it doesn't count.
I don't think it counts. These are all French people that he knows, and they are all saying, probably in their French accent,
"You see, Monsieur Polanski must be see that."
Yeah, thanks very much.
Well, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. So anyway, among them, John Landis. You remember John Landis on his film? What was it? The Twilight Zone movie and his section of the film. Vic Morrow, great actor, died after a helicopter blade cut his head off. That John Landis. Jonathan Demme, who made the film Silence of the Lambs. David Lynch, great film. All of these people signing this petition saying, please let this man go. Now, here is a discussion, and they are discussing the original charges on The View this morning. Whoopi Goldberg defends Polanski against allegations he committed a serious rape. Co-host Sherry Shepherd is not buying it. Here, then, are the ladies from The View.
He's not charged. I know it wasn't.
Child molest, maybe? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
It was something else, but I don't believe it was rape. And when we get all the information, somebody will tell me in my ear. All I'm trying to get you to understand is when we're talking about what someone did and what they were charged with, we have to say what it actually was,
okay,
not
so
what we think it was.
What he said he did. He gave her Quaaludes. He gave her champagne. Mm-hmm. She was drugged. She was 13 years old. He answered, here's a transcript.
But
that's what I'm saying. You're 13 years old. She was still a child.
Initially, he was charged with rape. Go ahead. And then he pled guilty to having sex with a minor. Okay? And he went to jail.
Whatever.
And when they let him out.
No, he didn't go to jail.
And when they let him out, he said, you know what? This guy's going to give me 100 years in jail. I'm not staying.
I think that's pretty gay.
Whoopee, baby. They sent him to a psychiatric evaluation, sweetie. He didn't go to jail. They needed to evaluate him, and then he came out for sentencing. He knew it. His lawyer knew it. Everybody in the world knew it except for you. Now we have CNN legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin explaining that it's irrelevant that the rape victim, forgave him.
But all these, you know, it's whining in sympathy for Roman Polanski, who has never settled his debt, not with this woman, These prosecutions are brought in the name of the people of California. It's the people versus Roman Polanski. So it's not up to Ms. Geimer whether this case goes forward. And anyway, she doesn't have to testify because he's already pled guilty.
You guys don't want to hear the rest of this audio. I mean, it's just the same. There's a lot of people that are rationalizing. I don't understand this. I don't want to see Roman Polanski go to jail. I love the guy's movies, for God's sake. But if he don't, then who does? If he doesn't go to jail for this, who does? The next cat that's up for this kind of a charge, this kind of a defense, he says, give me the same deal that Polanski got. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I think that's pretty gay.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We got Michael Steele, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, weighing in on Obama taking a trip to Europe, concerning himself with where the Olympics may be going. And Michael Steele, who is the Republican chairman, will be talking about that. Also, a follow-up on a story that we did concerning a radio station promotion. Now the radio execs are on the stand, and they're testifying. And if there ain't, if there's nothing that I like in this world better than seeing some radio executive have to sweat decisions that were made by underlings, I don't know what it is, because this is a beautiful thing. Now, we're going to get to some phone calls, but first I want to mention to you that the Swiss police arrested the 76-year-old director as he arrived late September the 25th. I think that was Saturday, if I'm getting my dates right here, to collect the Zurich Film Festival's Golden Eye Lifetime Achievement Award. The Swiss Justice Ministry said yesterday that Polanski, a French and Polish citizen, was held on the basis of the 78 U.S. arrest warrant for illegally having sex with the 13-year-old girl in question. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and here is Dana in Manhattan, in New York. Dana, what's going on tonight?
Not too much. Get to the point real quick. My gut feeling is that Polanski, this happened 2 days after Susan Atkins died. One of the people responsible for the butchering of his wife and child. Mm-hmm. And I think he just felt like, okay, it's time. So he just, there's going to be a lot of hemming and hawing, and it's, the lawyer's going to do their thing. But I think ultimately he's going to come back and face the music. But I think he just felt like he never got real justice for what happened to his family. Because things like this are always ultimately...
I don't get it, man. I don't get that at all. What are you talking about? He's coming back because he didn't get justice for his family?
No, he's... I went through this with your screener. It's a little... It seems convoluted, but it's really not. But basically, he took off. When he fled the States... He was out of frustration that, they're playing all these games with me and all the granting and all that, and it was also driven by feelings of frustration that, he personally never got real justice for what happened to his family.
So he split the United States.
We make jokes about the French and all that, blah, blah, blah. But remember,
he didn't get justice for his family, even though they convicted people for the murder of his wife.
Would you settle for life in prison for what they did to Sharon Tate and her unborn child?
Well, no, they got death. But then it was changed when the U.S. When the California Supreme Court ruled that the death penalty was unconstitutional. So they originally got death.
But it was, well... Remember, the French were still using the guillotine until 1970.
I don't know. I don't know what this has to do with anything, man. What are you talking about? So the guy turned himself in because he wants to get justice for his family, but he split because he wanted to get justice for his family.
No.
Is that? Well, that's what you said.
No, it's... No,
the fact is, he didn't turn himself... Let's cut through it. He didn't turn himself in at all. He was arrested. He could have turned himself in France or in Germany or wherever it was. He could have turned himself in
anywhere,
sir. Why did he go to Switzerland to turn himself in? All right. And why is he fighting extradition if he turned himself in? Why is he fighting extradition to the United States if he turned himself in? Thanks so much for your call. And my sympathy to our screener for having to go through that. What did that guy say to you, man? Because I'm telling you, if it took him half the time it took him to tell me what he told you, it must have been like days before you were able to get what that guy was talking about. Roman Polanski got arrested. There's a bunch of people that think he's a great artist, and I agree, and he shouldn't have to suffer the slings and arrows of this kind of outrageous fortune, given all of what he's contributed, and that his wife died, and he has been away from America. I get all of that. All of that would be very compelling were it not for the fact that he fled. He fled justice. When he gets back to the United States, there's a very, very good chance he's going to get jail time. Jail. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show with the radio station water contest.
Phil Hendry.
God, that's loud. Whoa.
Tell him to turn it down.
I couldn't even hear myself. For those of you who may not understand a lot of what's being talked about here, you know right now that if you have sex with an underage individual, a minor, that you are exposed legally to arrest or some other kind of penalty. It could be a civil penalty. It depends, I suppose, on the state. It depends on the exact wording of the statute. But you are not in an area that's safe for you in terms of your legitimate standing in the community. Now, when I was growing up, we heard this term statutory rape a lot. This was the word that was used. This was the phrase, I should say, that was used for sex with an underage woman, an underage girl, I should say. Statutory rape. Nobody called it child molestation. Child molestation in those days was more literally a child. One would think of as a child, maybe preteen, I don't know. If you had sex, you were 19 or 20. My very first girlfriend, I shouldn't tell you this, but...
You're going to talk about you having sex and everything?
No, I'm not. I'm simply going to say the first girlfriend that I ever... You know, I was 19.
You kidding me, man? That's a late start. Yeah, I lost my virginity.
No one cares about you, all right? I'm talking about me right now. Me. I was 19. Big deal. Sue me. And my girlfriend was 17. Technically, I suppose that would have been a statutory rape. Why do they call it that? Statutory, meaning the statute, technically, it is rape according to the statute. She's underage. And so you had that drilled into your head pretty good, and you knew that it was not smart. And so following that incident, or if you will, that relationship I had with my girlfriend, she was 2 years younger than me. I suppose there wouldn't have been a court really that was going to lean on me for that. I was 19, she was 17, whatever. But you knew that sex with anyone under the age of 18 was trouble, all right? Now, that wasn't anything that anybody had to remind you of. You knew it. So even in the 1970s, even in the antiquated and arcane and old and ancient days of the 70s, it was pretty well known if you have sex with a girl who is a girl and she's not a woman, she's under 18, you are legally in an area that is not safe for you. Now, I know that Roman Polanski's not an American. He was born in Poland. He was a resident of Europe for many years. He came to the United States as a man in his 30s. He married here. He was planning on raising a family here. He bought a home. And he commenced his work here. He was a resident of this city here, Los Angeles. Now, there might be, in the minds of some, a transcendent sensibility. One, as an artist... doesn't necessarily have to adhere to the same rules, or if they do, when they do adhere to those rules, they have a little bit more wiggle room than the rest of us. I don't know what some of these guys are thinking. The petition that was written by these filmmakers and that was circulated and signed by these filmmakers, notably Woody Allen and Martin Scorsese, Costa Gavras is another who is a great movie maker. I think David Lynch's name is on here. It reads like something out of Alice in Wonderland. In other words, you guys, do you live in the same world we live in? You guys making movies about me, right? You're making movies about, when I say me, about us. You make movies about people. Do you or do you not? Mr. Allen, don't you?
Well, when you say, you know, you're yelling at me. You're yelling. Oh, you shut up.
Do you make movies about people? Yes, you do. Do you make movies about people that live on the planet Earth? Yes, you do. Do you make movies about people that are not movie makers necessarily, that are not movie stars necessarily, just people? Well, not in your case, Woody, because that's all you ever make movies about. But how about you, Mr. Scorsese? You make them about gangsters. So where do you guys get off writing a petition? And I'll read a little bit to you. We've learned the astonishing news of Roman Polanski's arrest by the Swiss police on September the 26th upon arrival in Zurich while on his way to a film festival where he was due to receive an award for his career in filmmaking. His arrest follows an American arrest warrant dating from 1978 against the filmmaker in a case of morals. Oh, okay. Filmmakers in France, in Europe, in the United States, and around the world are dismayed by this decision. It seems inadmissible to them that an international cultural event paying homage to one of the greatest contemporary filmmakers is used by the police to apprehend him. By their extraterritorial nature, film festivals the world over have always permitted works to be shown and for filmmakers to present themselves freely and safely, even when certain states oppose this. That is a meaningless sentence, if ever I read one. No meaning at all to that sentence. None. They could give me examples, I suppose, of where a guy got away with murder or whatever it was he was getting away with, showed up at a film festival, somebody handed him a little plastic trophy they bought at a hobby store, and then he bid adieu and he split and he was on the land before they could get their mitts on him. Maybe that's what they're talking about. The arrest of Roman Polanski in a neutral country. In a neutral country? Are you talking about the traditional stance of the Swiss? That is a stance of neutrality when it came to certain diplomatic tensions and even overt war. Is that what you're talking about? The Swiss still honor arrest warrants. The Swiss have treaties of extradition with all kinds of countries. So that's another meaningless statement. Where he assumed he could travel without hindrance, well, that just proves he's dumb. Undermines the tradition. It opens the way for action of which no one can know the effects. It opens the way for what action? That people who are criminals, who have arrest warrants out for them, are apprehended and then taken back to the country where they committed their crimes and they're tried for the crime that they committed? Is that the open-ended action that you're talking about? Roman Polanski is a French citizen, a renowned and international artist now facing extradition. He's not in France. He was in Switzerland. This extradition, if it takes place, will be heavy in consequence and will take away his freedom. No kidding, Sherlock. Filmmakers, actors, producers, and technicians will never again be able to have sex with a 13-year-old. No, it says filmmakers, producers, and technicians, everyone involved in international filmmaking, want him to know that he has their support and friendship. I'm sure he knows that. It ain't doing him any good. On September the 16th, although he's probably thinking, if you have my support, if you got my support and you got my friendship and I have yours, then how about some of you people busting me out of here? In September of 2009, Mr. Charles Rivkin, the U.S. ambassador to France, received French artists and intellectuals at the embassy. He presented to them the new minister, counselor for public affairs at the embassy, Ms. Judith Baroudi. In perfect French, she lauded the Franco-American friendship and recommended the development of cultural relations between the two countries. If only in the name of this friendship between our two countries, we demand the immediate release of Roman Polanski. We demand. Signed, Woody Allen, one of the all-time great Frenchmen.
That ain't French.
No kidding. There are other Frenchmen on this list here. As I mentioned, David Lynch, Woody Allen, and Terry Gilliam. He's a great Frenchman. Not to mention Tony Gatliff and Stephen Frears, another fantastic Frenchman. And, well, you get the idea. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Get a phone call. This is Johnny in Houston. Johnny, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on tonight?
Hey, man, I got a question and a comment. First of all, I can't believe Whoopi Goldberg, of all people, can't understand what's going on and really backing this guy, because didn't she have a daughter that got pregnant at 16 or something like that?
I don't know. I don't know that. I just, by nature, by virtue of the fact she's a woman, I don't know whether she, being a movie star, transcends being a woman. I think she'd have something to say about a 13-year-old girl being manipulated like that, but.
Exactly. And if nothing else, can we get this guy on international flight to avoid prosecution? Isn't that a crime?
Oh, yeah, that's a crime. You bet it's a crime. Look, he's going to come back. He's going to come back to the States. I like I said, we were talking during the break. There's no way this guy cannot do jail. Woody Allen knows. Woody Allen. Roman Polanski knows. He's got to know that there's no way he avoids jail now. It may be 6 months and then house arrest. It might be a year if he gets a real hard-ass judge. It might be 6 months with no house arrest if he gets a, you know, gets a break. He's got to do jail. You get on a plane and flee to avoid sentencing for a crime you've already been convicted of. That's pretty heavy.
All right, thanks.
All right, man. Thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Joy in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Joy, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Phil, I was just saying to the screen.
Oh, Joey. I thought you were a girl.
No,
sorry.
Joey.
Yeah, Joey.
Sorry.
No problem.
I was saying to
it's a funny name.
On paper, it's very black and white. Quaalude, 13-year-old, it doesn't really look good for him at all.
No, not at all.
I'm just wondering, though, is there more to the story than that? Because, I mean, she's not wanting to press charges. Her parents don't want to press charges.
No, it isn't. It isn't a matter of pressing charges. When she was 13,
go ahead.
When she was 13, no, you got to understand. It's not a matter of pressing charges. This doesn't have anything to do with the victim now. This has to do with the fact that he broke the law by fleeing, the fact that he was already convicted. It had nothing to do with whether they wanted to press charges. They did bring the information to the police. The mother came to the police initially to say this took place, and that's when Polanski was arrested, put on trial, and convicted, found guilty.
Well, so the mother did bring it to the police's attention.
Initially, yes. Her daughter told her, and she brought
it back. Maybe she got paid off.
Well, no, I didn't know. No, she didn't take anything back. I think what's happened in the intervening years is that perhaps Miss Gamer, I think is her name, has her feelings have softened. She wants to put this behind her. She may, I don't know what's in her mind, but the law doesn't respect the passage of time and the feelings of people. The law is the law. And
right.
That's why the law is great. That's why we love the law, because the law does not soften or it doesn't harden just because we're all feeling kind of warm and fuzzy on any given day. The law must be respected. And even if
I understand from a legal point of view, of course, yes, there's definitely a law to be enforced there. But I was just wondering as far as morality goes, like, it's like you're saying about the headmaster at that school. Like, you're kind of like, yeah, okay, you're in love with her. But you know what I mean? Because you look at Celine Dion. Celine Dion, she married her man, and she was, like, messing around with him when she was, like, 15, 16 years old. And that was her man.
Yeah, well, then you get into an age of consent thing when it comes to marriage and relationship. And that's different than a state where they're may not be an age of consent under the age of 18, or if there is an age of consent, it's older than 13. And at some point, an adult has to know that a child is not responsible for their own decisions when it comes to certain things, one of them being sexual relations with a man, and that becomes a crime. If Celine Dion was consenting to marry a guy, and she happened to be 16, and the age of consent, wherever the hell she's from, isn't she from some hillbilly town up in Quebec or something? And I think she is. Yeah, some frog place like that. And they said, yeah, at 16, you know, you let our women, they can marry. Okay, great, fine. All right, so she's married, and that's good, too.
Well, that's kind of a weird scenario, though, because you figure he's been managing her since she was, like, 13 years old. She hasn't really known any other guy. She never dated anybody else. That was the only guy she knew all of her life.
Yeah, I believe it's a very large family she's from. I think there's a lot of kids in this family. I think they're Catholic. There may be there might be some kind of moral standards and practices within that family that may seem sort of antiquated to us, but it seems pretty traditional, the family she's from, and she's been with this guy. You're right, and that's where that's at. I don't see that as a crime. If it's not a crime, it isn't a crime. And I don't even see it as, frankly, I don't even see it as weird. If the society up there says you could give consent at the age of 15 or 16 to be married, then, hey, that's where it's at, you know. And she's stayed married to this guy. So, but this situation with Polanski, thanks very much, Joy, for your phone call. This situation with Polanski, I love the guy, too. But, I mean, a guy, even if he was my best friend, if it was my best friend in the world, I'd say to him, I better not use his name.
No, man, you idiot.
I'd say, hey, man, come on back here and let's get this over and done with. Let's get it over and done with. Well, will you stand with me? And yes, I'll be in the courtroom. I'll stand with you. I'll visit you every day. But you got to man up here, dude. You got to get it out of the way and you can enjoy the rest of your life. The way I got this figured, and I could be wrong, there's no way that Polanski gets more than a solid year. I think he's going to do jail. I can't imagine he won't do any jail. I don't know how long it'll be. It won't be that long in the overall, I mean, in relative terms. And then it's done. It's done. It ain't like he's going to be coming out of jail and he won't be able to get a job putting tires on Chevys or something because he's got a jail. You know, the cat's a filmmaker. Nobody's going to hold it against you that you were in prison. It's a fantastic career, you know. Being an actor, you could have been in prison for burning down an orphanage and bang, right away you're back at work. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll try to get to some of this other stuff about steel and his radio station water drinking promotion. They put one of the radio executives on the stand. And more of your phone calls, too, at 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, where truth is our bitch.
Phil Henry.
You are listening to the music of the Canadian, the French-Canadian, or if you will, the French-American. This is the culture Celine Dion came from when she agreed to marry a man when she was 9. Yes, I'm sure it sounds untoward and perhaps not quite moral to most of you, but it's a very familiar and friendly setting as they play their fiddles and... I'm kidding. I don't know how old she was. She was 26 when she got married.
No, you said she was 13.
She was 12 when she met the guy. She married him when she was... This ain't got nothing to do with Polanski. Okay? By the way, this is Roman Polanski here on the fiddle. And anyway, 877-876-PHIL. So coming back next hour, we'll have Michael Steele and the rest of our news. We also have something on healthcare. It ain't good news for anybody that supported the healthcare plan, as in the public option, but... You know what? Grow up and live to fight another day. I mean, I did, and I ain't going to sweat the small crap. As long as they pass something, well, I'll get into it later. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's go over to, what's going on here, man? Oh, here we have Mike in Boston. Mike, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on tonight, Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I just wanted to touch base a little bit on the whole Roman Polanski thing. One thing I want to know is why did authorities wait 30 years to try to make an arrest and bring the guy to justice, you know, after 30 years and over in Switzerland, you know, why couldn't they have done this, you know, within the
past? he was a resident of France. I don't know what the technical extradition deal is with France and the United States, but I think it was very difficult. I think they were protecting him on some level. I believe that there was an attempt to extradite him from France. I don't think the authorities honored that. I think they felt it was extra legal. It was beyond their agreements with the United States. And so he lived in a country, France, that protected him legally from this kind of process.
All right. So that would explain one thing. But the other thing I don't understand is why are so many celebrities backing a pedophile? I mean, a 13-year-old girl, whether she's sober or not, sober doesn't have the right mentality to make a decision to be with another, you know, to be with an older man like that. I mean, let alone a 13-year-old girl that's under the influence of heavy narcotics and alcohol, certainly doesn't have the mental capacity to make a sound decision to, you know, have a relationship with, you know, an older gentleman. And for anybody,
well, I mean, your question, it's a very good question.
Actually,
yeah, it's a good question, Mike. I think it has to do with a kind of a mentality and solidarity that artists have. You know, they know the soul of this man. They feel they know that, in their opinion, he's not a monster. They feel that, oh, well, you know, we don't like it when people abuse children, but this is Roman Polanski, and you don't understand, he isn't that kind of a guy. I'm sure they know him very well. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure that the guy is everything they say he is.
And drug and, well, you know.
No, you're right. You're right.
We would be in jail, no doubt.
The point is, the point that you're making, and I agree with you, is that the law is the ding-dang law. And I don't necessarily think that everyone that goes on trial for a crime that they committed is a monster. I know people are victims of circumstance. I feel sorry for a lot of people that go to jail. They made a mistake. They screwed up. They hung out with the wrong people. But they should know better. They're adults, and the law is the law. You got to know the law. And this is a very clear law. Roman Polanski is an artist from Poland. He idealizes the female figure and form and spirit. To his mind, young women are beautiful. And no, I'm not making excuses for him. Yeah, I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just telling you what the way these artists think, that he should transcend. Somehow Roman Polanski needs to be treated differently because of all the marvelous things that he's done. I agree with you, Mike. He is a great artist. I love his movies. And he's got to paint a piper, man. The law, like we said, is the law. It is no respecter of personalities or station in life. It is the thing that holds us together. It's what makes this country and any civilized country civilized. We'll be back with the world-famous Phil Hendry Show's look at Michael Steele. You know, I've been saying his name so much, I don't think I want to talk about him. Anyway, we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.